I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Brendan Moore, who's running for the councillor position in the East Ward. Welcome, Brendan.
No, thanks very much, Michael. I'm happy to be running in the East Ward and happy to be talking to you.
Well, that's a good start, Brendan. I've said to all of the would-be councillors and the would-be mayors, my first question is, why are you running? Brendan, why are you running?
I'm not crazy. Just putting that out there. I've always been interested in local government, and I've worked for local government for the last 14 years here in the city of Fremantle in operations though. And you know, you can't work in operations without rubbing up against some of the strategy and politics and decision making without it affecting you. And I think that, you know, I can better use my skills and experience to represent the community to help determine those strategies. I've used a successful approach, one that we've all used. It's not just me, but a team on reconciliation. It really is about, you know, working with community, engaging with community, and having the community come up with the solutions to drive grassroots support and nurturing change rather than top-down filtering down, because that just doesn't seem to work. That's been my experience. So I would bring that to the role, and I'd make sure that you know, the community are enabled to be able to make decisions through my election.
Well, it's interesting. You're employed by the city, as you say, for some time, and if you get elected, you have to give that up.
Yeah, I would do. So it's a day in which I'll know which fork of the road I turn, I guess. I come to a fork of the road and I either go back to work on Monday or I go back to a new job on Monday. And I leave that totally in the hands of the community. And, you know, there's three other candidates equally as good, and I look forward to campaigning over the next 7 weeks for that community to make informed decisions and to make sure that all the information's in front of them and that they can make that decision. And I'll know, like I said, I'll know in 7 weeks whether I go back to my job or whether I go to a new job.
I understand the consultative approach, working out what communities want and trying to enact that you've mentioned. What are some of the strategic decisions, though, that have sort of motivated you to think I need to be on council to see them further forward? Because I'm imagining that's the sort of thinking you've got.
Yeah, look, I come from a environmental background, so I did a science degree in environmental management. So I've got a bent with the Greening Fremantle strategy, and you know, there's part of the backbone of that strategy was to make sure that, you know, everyone has easy access to a natural space within 400 metres. And on top of that is there are local government guidelines, and not everyone might be aware, but local governments need to have a certain amount of public open space per 1,000 residents. And we've got, you know, 30-odd thousand residents. And so we need to maintain, in contributing to a healthy, sustainable community, an area of public open space. And that public open space is green space. And we're below that in some suburbs in the Eastern Ward, particularly in Hilton, which you might think is quite green when you're driving along in a car. But if you're a bird or if you look from a satellite, it's not that green in terms of the cover of public open space. So I would support, you know, green space, increasing that green space. And the other thing that's occurring at the same time is our population is increasing. So that only means that our green public open space is reducing because our population is going up, because it's a ratio that we have to keep.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you mentioned Hilton, that was the original post-Second War garden city suburb and set out with lovely curling crescents. But I guess
Rennie Crescent.
It seems and feels very suburban, lots of trees, but there's also been a lot of backfilling, battle axe blocks and the like. So I guess that's really increased the population.
Yeah, urban infill is a blessing and an issue with, you know, obviously the Australian backyard has shrunk, and, you know, subdivision has been the strength of urban infill. And so, yeah, once, you know, post-war, Hilton was sort of a long way from the centre, and now it's quite a, you know, convenient place to be. But, yeah, I noticed it on my letterbox drops, is that, you know, you've got sort of 3A, you know, 3B, 3C, and it's one block, but there's actually three houses on the block these days. And so that only increases the population, yeah. It increases demand for services, and we need to appropriately increase the green space and the trees.
You often hear, I certainly have on Fremantle Shipping News over the years, that people in the suburbs, quote unquote, of Fremantle can sometimes feel a bit neglected. And to some extent, that's what you're suggesting. There needs to be more attention to the green space. What are the other issues for the East Waters?
Yeah, so along South Street particularly, and by the way, the East Ward starts at Fifth Ave.
So that's in Beaconsfield.
In Beaconsfield, yeah. So East Ward starts there. So the western side of Fifth Ave is in the Central Ward, and the eastern side of Fifth Ave is in the East Ward. And so an area along South Street in Beaconsfield where there's a bit more commercial activity, and looking at that commercial activity means that, you know, there's a demand for parking, and at the same time you've got families that are growing, so instead of having one car they've got three cars, and so parking is an issue for some of the residents in that area, particularly where there's a commercial centre. Other issues are, you know, slowing down the traffic, and I think perhaps not exactly there, but there is that issue of rat running and people taking shortcuts, I think related to, you know, the bridge update, the bridge over the river here, and people taking different routes. So that means they're getting all slowed down in traffic, so they try and take the shorter route through some of these suburban streets. So that means there's an opportunity to be able to maybe look at the street the way it's designed, look at the landscape. Can we fit trees in? Can we fit parking in certain areas? That can help slow down the traffic.
So I guess when people do bail you up, doing a door knock, no doubt they say, Brendan, why should we vote for you? They sound like good issues. Are there other ones?
Yeah, and there are. And, you know, everyone definitely has their own personal matter that somehow has a connection to local council, whether it is, trees, or whether it's rates, or whether it's parking or rubbish. And it's hard to, in a little brochure that you're stuffing in people's letterboxes, you simply can't cover all bases. But I think that what it is, it's about listening. That's what I've gathered, is that it's about listening and finding out where people are coming from. And often it's an information issue. I've also benefited from 14 years of knowing how the internals of a city works. And something interesting which hasn't come up yet is the use of AI. And it can not only help and reduce a city's admin costs, but also at the other end, ratepayers can look up exactly, or ask ChatGPT or whatever, ask a question, you know, whether they need a building permit or whether they need planning permission. So that's a helpful use of alongside the, you know, the, there are obviously issues with AI, but looking forward, I think there's lots of interest in changing the way the city can do business.
So I'm taking from that that you're talking about a strategy which makes the local government, municipality, city of Fremantle more efficient through the use of AI.
Well, yeah, there's studies around that say that, you know, areas, savings of areas in between 22 and 25%. So, yeah, but it really is, though, governance. It's a governance matter, and we need to make sure that the information feeding AI and the AI is accurate, you know, and that's a real, particularly important for local government, which is, you know, where the reason why admin is so high is because we've got to get things right. You know, we're local government, so the right advice needs to be dispensed, and it needs to be dispensed in the right way.
Just at the moment, all sorts of organisations are talking about AI and how it can make them more efficient, reduce costs. It also causes some people to say, oh, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah, well, I think that this is the thing, is that we look at how it can help economies, and you know, in a wider economy, when there's change, it means that there's opportunity. So I mean, take for example the port as well, another issue, not so much with the East Ward, but there's a whole lot of opportunities there with how that land might be better used and how the port areas might be better used in the future with developing you know, a thriving waterfront tourist destination, you know. So I think there'll be, I think the future's pretty good when you look at it from that point of view, rather than looking at a loss from the port, look at the opportunities. And it's something where I think local government may not be able to get too confident about its power in altering the decision at the end of the day. I think, you know, it's something that the state governments will make, and we might be better off, more efficient, focusing on what we can do, not what we can't.
The port's an interesting topic. Everyone around Fremantle has a view whether the port itself, the working port, should stay just as it is, or if it's a bad thing for the container port to go south to Westport. Is it a big issue as you go around?
I haven't had a big conversation with anyone about it, to be honest. Mostly it's about park maintenance, it's about verges, parking, but I think it seems to be an issue that is sort of there in the background. But as I said, I've been pragmatic in my approach with just about everything so far. And I think where it sits with me is that, you know, I'll listen to the community. And ultimately, though, I think time's best spent on actually affecting change in the way that we have that position, rather than taking on a fight that's simply out of our ballpark. You know, it's not ballpark, but it's out of our jurisdiction.
Well, there have been some suggestions that the big issue for these local government elections should be AUKUS, Rendon. What do you think about that?
Well, there's another one. That's a federal, you know, I think sure. Look, I'm not saying that we don't have a position on things. For example, our position on celebrating on Australia Day. But that was our issue, that was our matter, and we did that. And it reverberated throughout Australia. So it wasn't intended to be a federal issue, it became one. Now, you know, I don't know if the Defence Department's going to consult with the City of Fremantle about whether it has veto rights over AUKUS. I'm certain it won't. But if the community, and I'm saying I'm going to represent the community, if my community's overwhelming say they don't want this, then that's what I'll be guided by. But I haven't got that.
We're also approaching 200 years in Western Australia of European settlement, Brendan. It's going to be a very interesting time, particularly for the Whadjuk Noongar people of this region. How do you see all of that?
Yeah, it's very personal for me. So I've spent a lot of my time in Native Title, and I was the chair of the Southwest Land and Sea Council, and we successfully facilitated the start of the Australia's largest Native Title settlement, and $1.3 billion. So as well as that, you know, one of my ancestors is a Whadjuk person, one of only about 12 to survive settlement in 1829. And there was about, depending on which author you look at, there's probably between 200 and 300 Whadjuk people, so only 12 of those survived. So, and he was at Rottnest, incidentally, Tommy Nettle. So he survived settlement and Rottnest. So it's very dear to me to make sure that the Aboriginal context is included in the celebration. As I said, my approach to reconciliation wasn't to be the kind of leader that you might see on the front page of the West Australian. My approach was pretty much considered and to do it with community, gently and slowly. And we did that during the referendum, even though it didn't go our way. We got areas within Fremantle up to 60-65%. Yes, we've opened the cultural centre. So my approach is to just be pragmatic and be respectful, and that way I think we've been able to get some good results. So the same could be said of the bicentennial, where we say, well, okay, yes, yeah, sure, you know, we acknowledge the settlement, but we also make sure that we acknowledge the traditional owners and something that didn't occur at settlement. And I think we can do that together. And there's, incidentally, there's where we are here, there's...
In the west end of Fremantle.
West end of Fremantle, yeah. Mandurie, about 200 metres west of here, is the exact site where the trade and the fairs called Manjari, or Manjarup, which is the trading place, where they occurred. And those fairs were dancing, singing, trading axes and spears and belts made of possum fur and all sorts of, and you know, grinding stones from the east. And that kind of affair pretty much hasn't occurred for 200 years. So it could be an opportunity to say, okay, let's maybe have a cultural ignition of that, which hasn't occurred for 200 years, and to have stalls and to bring back the trading and bring back the commerce.
Brendan Moore, candidate for councillor's position in the East Ward, thanks for joining me today. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you very much, Michael, and thanks, listeners.